This morning, we're going to the book of Hebrews, but I wanted to open up with a statement from Jesus about this rest that Jesus talks about. Because I believe it's a rest that all of us will be looking for at some point of our life, or even looking for today. I want you to listen to this as an invitation from Jesus to you specifically. I want you to think about right now the one thing in your life that has caused the most unrest for you. I want you to think about that. If it's been health, if it's been relationships, if it's been career, for me, it's my wife has had pneumonia for a month. So I've been like Mrs. Doubtfire in my house. But there's this one thing in our lives that can cause us unrest. So now I want you to take that thing. It could be your own sin that you can't kick. And I want you to listen to this invitation from Jesus that has no limits, by the way. Do not limit Jesus. Listen to Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Those two words, this is what's really cool about the Bible. Those two words, yours might say heavy laden, weary and burdened. Those two words cover two things. One, the stress and pressure that others put on you, and the stress and pressure that you put on yourself. So check this out, like Jesus covered the bases. He says, come to me if you are weary, you're tired of people putting expectations and pressure on you that you can't meet. Number two, come to me, those who are burdened. You have placed things on your shoulders that I've never asked you to carry on your own. And so now Jesus is saying, I think I covered everybody, right? Like, it's pretty cool of Jesus. Like, I'm gonna cover everybody. If you are overwhelmed because you have stuff put on you and you're exhausted, if you are overwhelmed because you're putting stuff on yourself, he says, either way, if you're both, there's a combination that's often waiting to explode. He says, come to me and watch this. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Like, what an invitation. So he is saying, come to me, bring me whatever you have. And then he describes his character so you know who you're coming to. Come to me, I am humble and I am gentle. That changes the perception of what we have about God, right? That if you bring your sin to him, he's just like ready to punch you. Like, come on. No, that's not God. It's this, he set the table with humility and understanding and says, bring it. Bring it. Whatever it is, bring it. I am humble and I am gentle. I will be gentle with you. Like, what an invitation. And he says, and you will find, watch this, rest for your souls. Here is the thing. The reason why you toss and turn at night, the reason why I toss and turn at night is not because we need to buy a better mattress. The reason why our soul continues to toss and turn regardless of our circumstance is because often when our soul tosses and turns an internal issue, we look for external solutions. This is why we can often buy into the lie that if we have more achievement, then we will find rest. We buy into the lie that if we have more popularity, we will find rest. We buy into the lie that if we have more money, we will find rest. If we have a promotion, we will find rest. Here's a lie for those of you who are single. You think that you don't have rest for your soul because you are single. So you're looking for your soulmate. The problem is your soulmate cannot calm your soul. That's why a lot of people get married so they no longer feel lonely, but they end up getting married and are still lonely because they look for people to fulfill what only God can do. So in other words, even when you take a vacation, even when you go to bed, you still carry this restlessness in your soul. You can be at the most beautiful resort, but you won't sleep well because your soul is still tossing and turning. What Jesus is aiming for is the rest in the soul. But here's what's amazing, because when he promises this rest for your soul, this means that the rest for the soul, it cannot be found anywhere. Do you understand that Jesus has intentionally wired this so that your soul cannot find pleasure in the things of this world? Do you understand that? There is nothing in this world that will allow your soul to find rest. He has wired us this way. It is his kindness and his grace to allow us not to find rest in anything this world has to offer, which means that you can find rest in the midst of any circumstance. Because many of us are looking for our circumstances to change in order for our soul to rest. But the Bible is saying your rest is not dependent on your circumstance. It's dependent on a person, and his name is Jesus. So when your soul is tired, when your soul is weary, there is nothing external that can fix it. And you understand this because I deal with it all the time, that sometimes we think that achievement, or this is one, we let the opinion of people dictate the peace that we have. Like, how often do we let what people say or think about us dictate how we think and view ourselves? We can let somebody mess up our entire day, right? We can let somebody mess up our entire mood as if they have the power to change anything about our life. Like, we can, I finally have learned the spiritual gift of not caring so much. I would literally let everybody's thought and opinion steal my entire joy. The other day, something happened. My wife was, you know, somebody was basically criticizing me. Surprise, never happens to a pastor. But they were criticizing, and I just, like, took care of it. I was like, all right, honey, where do you want to go lunch? She's like, well, don't you care? It's like, I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't care. And she's like, well, why not? I was like, because I'm going to love them, but them putting their issue on me shouldn't be my problem. That's their issue. Like, I'm going to treat them well. I'm not going to be a jerk for Jesus. I'm going to love on them, but they got some stuff going on that I can't fix. Only the Holy Spirit can fix that. And so what do you want to go eat? But there is freedom and power in not being a slave to people's opinion. And there's rest for the soul. Like, when you can go to bed and your hands are clean at night, I'm confessed, I'm clean before you, you sleep very well. You sleep very well. You don't need one of those mattresses that you hit a button. It's like, they're good, but they don't heal the soul. So when you are right with God, there is this healing to the soul. And it's not that the circumstances go away, but you know who's in control of the circumstances. And so I want you to hear something to almost prove my case. You've heard of Elvis. Elvis was, I watched the documentary. I don't know how much of it's true, but the dude was a rock star. I mean, he was a complete rock star before there were rock stars. I didn't know he was rebellious like that. It made me like him more, because he loved Jesus and he was rebellious. One night after performing a concert in front of thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in a stadium, he goes back to his hotel room. He writes on a piece of paper, he crumbles the paper and throws it in the trash. One of his handlers, once he leaves, pulls it out of the trash can and opens it up, and he reads the paper, which what Elvis wrote end up, you know, going into his biography. A song was written about it, but here's what Elvis wrote. Unbelievably wealthy, has achieved the fame and success that he was chasing after. Everybody seemed to love him, and here's what he wrote. I feel so alone now. I would love to be able to sleep. I will probably not rest tonight. Then he says this, and it ends with this. I have no need for all of this. Lord, help me. You talk about a tired soul who had everything many of us are probably chasing. And this is a great example of wealth, achievement, and success cannot calm the soul. This morning, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the author is going to give us a warning about missing this rest. And then he tells us how we can find this rest. So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. If you've never read the Bible before, that's okay. We have free Bibles in the back I'd love for you to have. I'm going to explain this in such a way to where you're not going to feel like you don't know what's going on. This book of Hebrews we've been going through was written to people that were following Jesus. They were following Jesus, but yet they had one foot in the world and they had one foot in religion, and their life kind of was kind of both, right? It was like, there are sometimes I really want to do what I want to do and I'm going to live like I don't know who Jesus is. Then there are some times where I believe Jesus and I'm all in. So there's just this mixture of stuff going on, religions, acts, behaviors. Some of it was pleasing to God, some of it wasn't pleasing to God. So the author writes to these people and basically tells them to straighten up, but he does it in a loving way. He does it in a kind way because he is concerned about what can happen and where this can go. And so I want you to listen now with this concerned heart. I want you to listen to this. Not a heart of judgment, but a heart of concern of what's going to happen if you don't fix this. So here it is. He says this, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands. He's talking about God. He's telling them there is a promise of entering God's rest. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So we're going to break this down, make it very simple. So here's what he says. Therefore, while the promise... What is the promise? A promise, when you see a promise in the Bible, here's all it is, divine assurance, okay? So God's promises are divine, it's divine assurance. It's you can be assured that it's going to happen. If God said it, you can believe it. If God said it, you can believe it. So here's what he is saying. The author is saying, therefore, while the promise, while God's promises are out there, and you can guarantee on them, and they bring something to you. God's promises bring something. What do God's promises bring? They bring boldness. They bring comfort. They bring confidence. They bring security. They bring salvation. They bring provision. They bring courage. God's promises, when you tie yourself to God's promises, it brings a lot with it. So he is saying God's promises are guaranteed to bring these things when you attach yourself to God's promises. Because this is true, he says the divine assurance of entering his rest, which means you don't naturally fall into God's rest, that you work towards God's rest. How do you work towards God's rest? By believing in what God said. Believing the word of God and resting in God go hand in hand. Those are not separated. So what the scripture is saying is God's promises, his word, bring rest. But here's an awesome thing. This word rest in the Greek, here's the picture that this word rest in the Greek brings. It brings this idea of someone, watch this, somebody calming the winds in the storm. So check this out. It brings the idea that there's something that's crazy chaotic going on, and this divine power comes in and calms the wind and the storms and makes everything stop. That someone, as we look in the New Testament, is Jesus. Remember, Jesus calmed the storms, showing that he was divine and had power and authority to calm the storms. So when the Bible is saying God's promises, divine assurance, when you hang on to them, it's tied to rest. Now the word rest means that everything becomes calm. Now you're asking the question, if that is true, why do I still have issues? Because this word rest is not talking about calming external circumstances. This word rest in the scripture that's tied to God's promises is talking about calming your chaotic soul that keeps tossing and turning. So it's like everything around you can be complete chaos. You're hanging on to God's word and your soul is starting to stop tossing and turning and you're getting rest. So the picture here is tied to the internal, not to the external. So he is saying this right here is God calming the storms in your soul, not in your life, in your soul. Because life is going to bring storms. You can't get away from that. You can't run from that. You can't escape it. But you have to figure out, how do we calm our souls in the middle of the storm? A soul that is not calmed is often exposed to not believing. So the soul that's tossing and turning has unbelief. Unbelief turns the soul. But there is a warning that he says, you can have this peace with God. You can have this rest with God. Let us fear lest if any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So now he's saying, you can actually miss having the rest that Jesus is talking about. And then he gives an example in verse 2. He said, for good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So watch this. People heard the word of God. They were supposed to act on it, which means this is faith, right? You hear the word of God. You act on it as if what God said is true. That is called faith. It equals in rest and peace. What he is saying here is that people heard the word of God, but they did not act on it because they had no faith. So in other words, they were being exposed to it, which is why I joked about this earlier in my prayer, but some of you had brought friends with church to you, with you. And I know that I know that I know, because some of you have texted me, giving me a nice passive aggressive nudge. Don't mess this up. I'm bringing my friend who I've been trying to get to church for a while. Don't drop the ball. No pressure on me. But here's what I recognize. The prayer should not be, let's hope Pastor Noe entertains so they come back. The prayer should be, let's hope that their ears, their eyes, and hearts are open to receive the word of God. Pastor Noe can bring inspiration, but I can't bring transformation. So what we need to be praying for when you invite somebody is that their hearts are not so hard that the word of God is bouncing off. So what you want to do is pray for them that God begin to soften their hearts so they hear your word. And so this morning, while some of you may be here today, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you're trying this out, I applaud you. I was once where you were trying this out. But I will tell you, this is an invitation. You're not here by accident. God has got you here, whether somebody invited you or that you stumbled upon our church, because God is trying to reach you. God is not trying to entertain you. God is trying to reach you. God sees your soul. God sees that you're not resting. God sees that you're tossing and turning. God sees that you're struggling with sin. God sees that you're stressed out about your career. God sees that your marriage is falling apart. God sees that you're depressed and anxious. God sees you. And what God wants to offer you is not judgment and punishment upon you. God has invited you here. He has prepared a table and he has said, come, because I am humble and I am gentle. And that is the invitation to every person in this room today. What's going to keep the person from accepting the invitation is simply this, a hardened heart that's coupled with ego. The pride will not often allow us to see the issues in our own soul. Because what our pride allows us to do is we cover up the issue. And we are masters at giving people the edited and filtered version of who we really are. But God sees the soul. He sees beneath the filters. And so here, some of you today, I hope none, but the reality is some of you will hear the word today and God is saying, I'll give you rest. Some of you will act and you'll find that rest. Some of you will reject here today. You will reject God today because of the way you were not entertained or the way you were not impressed or stimulated. And that's what happened here. But I want to caution you, because when you reject God and the word of God, here's what he says. There are going to be two people. Watch this. For we have believed. There's one that believes, and you find that rest. Do you know, people always tell me, I cannot believe you talk so openly about your past. You were so messed up. Like, thank you, I think. You know why I could do that? Because I have rest. Man, I have rest that he has saved me from myself. I was a wretched, dirty, filthy man in need of a savior. And so I, listen, yes, I will boast of his works. The old man is gone. He has passed away. And the new man is alive in Christ. Thank God that I can rest. I can sit in my backyard now and I can think about the things I used to do and how sinful I was. And I watch my kids play and I just say, thank you, Jesus. Like you were so like... I shouldn't be a pastor based off my resume of my past. Y'all don't start Googling and looking me up. Don't worry about that. Go ahead. I don't care. I'm resting. But it's true for me and it's true for you that there, you know what comes out of this rest now because I'm forgiven? I have so much confidence. Man, my confidence in my Father is overwhelming. My confidence no longer is tied to man and what they think about me or my performance. No, I'm like, thank you. You are amazing. You have my plans in hand. You have my life in hand. You even love my kids more than you love. I love my kids. Some days that is easier than others, but you care for them. You watch over them. You watch over my wife who is sick. You watch over my career. You watch, I mean, there is this unbelievable rest that it just doesn't matter. I can come back next week and they can say, Pastor, your preaching hadn't been that great. We're going to go another direction. And I say, holla at your boy. I got God as my employer. Like, well, I'm good. Like there's it'll hurt a little bit, but I can still eventually... God's like, oh yeah, let's see if you're really good. No, don't. I'm just telling them an analogy, God. But you get it? There's this rest where your past no longer defines your future. And like college students, I see tons of college students, like one of the biggest lies that the enemy will get you in is there's this season right now of like tons of temptation for college students. And the enemy like wants you to fall in temptation and then he's gonna keep shaming you, telling you're worthless, you're no good. And it's gonna be this cycle over and over and over. College students, learn how to fight that lie now because it doesn't change when you become an adult. It doesn't change when you become a family person or a young adult. Like the enemy will continue the cycles of lies. He'll just use a different delivery method. He'll go from Uber to UPS. He just changes his method, but he still delivers. The enemy changes his method, but he still delivers. And no matter what age you are, he's going to keep trying to deliver. This is why when you as a Christian stop believing in the promises of God, you start accepting the packages of the enemy. That's it right there. When you stop believing God at his word, you start accepting the packages the enemy delivers, and then you don't find rest. Because lies and truth cannot coexist in the same bed of the soul. And the reason why there's this tossing and turning, because there's these lies and these truths, and you can't discern which is which, right? This is why when you hold on to the promises of God, it kicks out the lies of the enemy. But you, when you don't know the promises of God, you find yourself wrestling with, you're not sure exactly what. And so these promises of God kick out the lies of the enemy and it gives you rest and then you have confidence. And so he says this, like there's that promise for those who believe, like man, there is rest. Then he says, but then there's others that won't enter my rest. They won't enter it. Like, although I worked, I created, going back to Genesis, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Just a little Bible history for a minute. In the Old Testament, God created and rested on what day? Which is what day? Saturday. We call that our Sabbath. The reason why they were commanded to rest, not because God was tired. I want you to see the Sabbath for a minute. God was not tired. The Sabbath was a recognition that everything was completed. Okay, so watch this. I don't want to lose you because this is going to be really neat to see. When God rested on the seventh day, it's because everything was completed, right? So in the Old Testament, when he told them to rest on the Sabbath, it was so that they can stop long enough to recognize what God has done in their lives, and it was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. So watch this. In the New Testament, how many times does he tell us to keep the Sabbath? None. The reason why he doesn't say keep this Saturday and rest. Now he tells us to rest. You gotta rest. But in the New Testament, That rest is now found in Jesus. In the New Testament, watch this. God is worked 6 days, seventh day, everything's completed. The New Testament rests in Jesus because everything is completed. And so when God is pointing us to the Sabbath, he is pointing us to Jesus. And you can find Jesus any day of the week. And so that's the good news about that. So this Sabbath here that he is pointing us to, yes, there is a physical, there is a spiritual, there's all kinds of stuff, but I'm speaking about a spiritual here this morning. And I know some of you are Googling me right now. Is that true? He did not tell us the Sabbath day? I go, yes. Read it in Spanish, English, Hebrew, Greek, yes. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. So there's a danger now for us today that you can either rest in Jesus or you cannot enter his rest. And you almost get this sense that there is this timeline here that's going on, that there is this timeline of saying you won't have forever to make this decision. And there is, because there will be a second coming when Jesus comes back. We won't live here forever. He says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it. So they heard the good news. They failed to enter it because of disobedience. This right here is what will keep you from resting. Unbelief and sin will keep you from resting. Again, he appoints a certain day. He appointed a certain day in the Old Testament. Today, saying through David so long after, and the words already quoted, Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So I will tell you the same today. If you are here today, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, do not harden your heart towards this, because he has given you a sweet invitation. Then he is telling you, for if Joshua had given them rest, so now he is telling us that rest is not found in a person except for Jesus. And look how he does this foreshadowing. Joshua, Yeshua, this is Jesus' Hebrew name. Okay? So he was a low budget Jesus, okay? Dollar General version, all right, of the real thing. So Jesus is the real rest. The prophets that God used were pointing them to the rest. They could not give people rest. God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This Sabbath rest for us today, again, is not found on a Saturday. It's found in the person of Jesus. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. I'm getting ready to close. The band can come up now. And we'll make a 10 o'clock game. Now, so here's the urge to you. You've heard this. If you believe the promises of God, it'll bring rest to your souls. Because you're resting in the promises of God, not in circumstances in life. If you reject the promises of God, I can tell you this firsthand, you will not have a rest for your soul. It's just, you won't. You will not. You'll have temporary moments where you feel like life is good, but it's just like a spiritual energy drink. It'll fool you for a moment, but then reality kicks in. And your soul will continue to toss and turn. But here's what's awesome. I pray this for my kids. I pray that if any of my kids are living in sin and I don't know it, I pray that they cannot sleep until they confess. I do. I do all the time. And it worked for my 12-year-old, not for my others. Like my 12-year-old, he is a snitch on himself. And like he'll come to me, he's like, I didn't sin, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, dude, go sin every once in a while. It's okay, I got you. Like, not really. But so here's it for you today. Like, listen, let us therefore strive. You know what this means in the Greek? This word strive in the Greek, it means that you are diligent. You are diligent in finding this rest, which means you have to actually work for it. You have to work for this rest. So here's how I worked for mine. You'll see a picture come up. The other day I went hiking. I was being transparent. I was a bit overwhelmed with just a bunch of stuff this week, just a bunch of stuff. And it's like, I kept working harder. You know, you wake up earlier, you work later, and you're tired. It's like a cycle, right? Like you never find rest. You read the Bible, cool, you keep going. And I found myself like, I was like, I don't think I'm believing God right now. And so I went for a hike, like 100 degrees. But I went for a hike to find rest. And here's what I mean. When I got up to this point, I was obviously 100 degrees, crazy hot, exhausted, and I sat on a rock. And all I can think about right now, you're looking at the houses probably, right? All I can look at is the mountains out there. That's what my eyes were on. Let me tell you what happened to me. I went up there throwing a fit. I did. I went up there throwing a fit. And I was just like, I was a bit mad at God, honestly. And I was, and I go through these little fits with God. I think we all do. And not mad to the point where I was going to stop being a pastor, but mad to the point where I'm like, I just need you to say something to me so I can keep going. So I sat up there and I just sat down and I stopped the music in my ears. Because I was walking up there with music in my ears as I was thinking. So I got up there, took my headphones off, and it was so hard for me. It was so hard for me to sit there and like, how long are we gonna stare at each other? like I feel like the mountains were staring at me. How long are we gonna look at each other? We're gonna have a standoff here. And I was just staring at the mountains and I was looking around and it was weird. It was like, oh, he's God. He's big. And as I was sitting there, these unfolding of his promises were just coming to mind. And I began to remember like what he's done for me. Like, man, he's brought me from a kid who attempted suicide. Drug-filled life to being a pastor. Why am I questioning you, God? You know what I'm saying? Why am I questioning you, God? You've done it. You could do it. And in that moment, everything didn't disappear. Life, the issues were still there on the bottom of the mountain. They were, like, they were still waiting on me. But man, I had rest. Like I had, like, I walked up the mountain listening to Drake, walk down, listening to Passion music. I mean, you know, it's like, I was just a changed person. I was like, you're good. It's going to be okay. You're good, God. You're good. I get in my car, I go get something to drink. Hey, I'm going to buy everyone's coffee behind me in line. Life is good right now. It just like changed everything. Circumstance didn't change, but my soul held on to his promises and I had rest. So, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The table is set. The invitation is there. Jesus is inviting you. The circumstances may not change when you walk out this door, but you can cling on to his promises. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. Listen, we'll have pastors up here, and here's all I want to do. I just want you to do work with Jesus. I don't know where your soul is restless, and I would say for those of you that are Christians, I get it. Our soul just wrestles over and over and over again. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. And honestly, what you can think of is that wrestle is an invitation. Whenever you feel that wrestle, take it as a sweet invitation from Jesus saying, come on, let's go hiking. Come on, let's go for a walk. And then there's some of you in this room. I've been where you are, if this is you, where you're like, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Like, I don't know for sure that if I die today, that my sins will be forgiven, that I have this relationship of confidence to know that I'm going in heaven. So let me share something with you. I always thought that the way to get to heaven was through by just saying a prayer or just going to church or thinking I was a good person. But that's exhausting. There's no rest in that. But here's the good news. That Jesus came on this earth and he was sinless. and that he died on the cross and shed blood for all of humanity to cover our sins, because we needed to be forgiven for our sins. And the Bible says this, which is amazing rest. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. You know what that means? That if you don't put your faith in Jesus, you perish. You don't find rest. But as you put your faith in Jesus, you will not perish. But then the scripture says this, you will have everlasting life. And right now your soul is tossing and turning because you know, like, I'm going to perish without Jesus. And you have no confidence that you'll have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So here's my question this morning. If you are in this room, take this as an invitation from God and do not harden your heart or reject it. Who cares about everybody? What is Jesus saying to you and your soul right now? Is he inviting you? If he is inviting you this morning and you want to place your faith and surrender to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins so you can find rest, will you just raise your hand all across this room? All eyes closed and head bowed. Just raise your hand all across this room. Amen. I know that's not easy. Proud of you. Amen. Their hands going up. Amen. 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 Proud of y'all. Amen. Amen back there. Father, we pray this morning. We'll have the altars open. We'll sing this song together. And Father, we pray this morning that even those who didn't raise their hand, if they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, would you stir their soul, God, and help us to find rest in you that only you can bring. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.